And we are now live.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the CATC meeting. Right now, we are waiting for more people to come on that are community members. And we're going to give it a few minutes. And
the Zoom link that went on the calendar automatically does not work. It just sends you to Zoom. So I had to get Camille's, the last email that she sent in order to get into this meeting. So other people might be having that issue.
Apologies for the technical difficulties.
How long did you want to wait? Oh, here we go.
Just made it.
And we know that at least one member is not going to be here, correct?
Yes, Rihanna is not going to be able to attend today.
Okay.
So John and Cosette, I will defer to you on next steps on getting started.
We do have a quorum. I think we can get started and people can join us throughout the meeting as needed. So I think if you wanted to call the meeting to order, we can get going through the agenda, please.
Okay, then this meeting is called to order. First thing we need to do is roll call. I'm not sure how you want to do that. Everybody just shout out or...
Elaine, if you just wanted to read through each name on the list, we can note if they are present or not. And then as the meeting goes on, if we have other folks join us, we can note their attendance. Thank you.
Okay, so Rihanna? No. Kathy Dusing? Hoover Chambliss? Susan Cox?
Present.
Dan Norden?
Don Norton, I'm here.
Don. Pete Knox.
I'm here.
Martin Gator.
President accounting for.
Okie dokie. So forgive me for stumbling. This is my first time. There are no comments from the chair. And this is the public comment period. Anybody got any comments? Oh, okay. So I guess we'll go directly to our action items. And our first item is State Transportation Improvement Fund update discussion from Cosette.
Well, thank you so much. And first, I just want to welcome you all here and greet you with a good afternoon. It's great to see you all. And as always, LTD appreciates the work you help us do to be better every day. So today I'm here to provide an update on process and schedule to develop LTD's application for the fiscal year 24-25 Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund, or STIF for short. There are two opportunities for funding through STIF. What we're going to be talking about today is the formula plan. And that plan is a regional allocation of a specific amount for our county. And we as a region develop programming for that funding. For the fiscal year 24-25 plan, so a two-year plan, our region will receive an estimated $17 million over that 2 years. In addition, over the past biennium, there have been allocations that have been unspent, in large part due to COVID restrictions and delays in delivery due to supply chain issues. Those unspent dollars roll over and stay in our region, meaning that there is somewhere in the neighborhood of a total of about $30 million available for the next biennium. So that's the rollover dollars as well as the new dollars that are available for that biennium. LTD plays two roles in the STIF formula plan. The first is as the qualified entity. As a mass transit district, LTD is designated as the responsible entity for funds for Lane County. And to put that simply, what that means is we solicit applications from our region. We oversee the process of developing the plan. We make application for the funds, and we distribute those funds to the public transportation service providers as adopted by our board of director. Our second role, and that's the role we're going to be talking about here in the next few minutes, our second role is as a public transportation service provider or owner of some of these programs. The funds that we're talking about are legislatively intended to improve access and mobility, increase equity, reduce barriers, and create programs and services that improve our environment. LTD is right now preparing our application for investments that do just that. For LTD's projects, these include, but are not limited to, additional service. So this includes significant increases in services on our fixed route bus system, both in the urban and rural routes, to enhance the number of trips and service frequency. Also looking at our special services, including continuing the Cottage Grove Connector beyond the pilot program and into regular service, as well as looking to pilot other mobility on demand service in year two of the fiscal year 24-25 biennium. We're looking to expand service on our Oak Ridge Diamond Express to provide an additional trip on weekdays and pilot a couple of trips on Saturday. This service provides service between Oak Ridge and the metro area. It's a critical service. Also looking to expand service on the Florence Rhodey Express, moving from once an hour service to 30-minute frequency. Other examples of how we're planning to use these funds are to continue our special fare programs. These programs provide really critical access and opportunities for people to use the bus. This includes continuing to offer free fares for all K-12 students on the LTD bus in Lane County. Also partnering with nonprofits to provide a discounted program to help get passes out and into the hands of those in our community to connect to programs and services to improve their quality of life. And in the past months, you may recall we've brought items to this group describing the combination of two state funding resources, the Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund, or STEF, and the Special Transportation Fund. And in that presentation, we covered how the Special Transportation Fund, which is a long established, small amount of funding that provides critical transportation services specifically for older adults and people with disabilities, and that funding would be merged into the larger funding, which is the Statewide Transportation Improvement Fund. So we're also programming those programs and services into this biennium STIF formula plan. So the source of that original funding was not only was it not growing, but it was actually shrinking over time and didn't allow us to keep up even with general inflation costs to maintain those services. So it's great that we have this opportunity to merge these into this STIF plan. So these programs are integrated into our requests in whole. This includes funding for programs such as Pearl Buck Preschool, Travel Training and Transit Host Program, Behavioral Health Transportation, Mobility and Management to accomplish functional assessments for our Ride Source Service, and many others specifically serving older adults and people with disabilities. So the timeline to make our final application to ODOT on our formula plan as a QE is very tight. So the timeline to get our application submitted is also very tight. As a provider, our applications are due today. Our Strategic Planning Committee, or SPC, will be discussing LTD's projects and making a recommendation on our projects to the LTD board. In our role as the QE, countywide, LTD projects will be brought forward with other entity applications and will be vetted through our STIF Advisory Committee, which includes Hoover Chambliss from this committee. I'll be representing LTD as a public transportation service provider, and we'll have Pete Knox as an ex officio member representing our board. And then over the next 2 months, this committee, the STIF Advisory Committee, will review all of the applications and provide a recommendation to the LTD board for the countywide plan. Our approved plan is due to ODOT on January 16th in 2023, and funding for these programs would become available on July 1st of 2023. So I'm just going to pause there and see if there are any comments or questions. And I see Hoover joined us. Oh, welcome, Hoover. Don, did you have a question?
Yeah, a couple of them. I just heard you say in the merging of the STIF and the SDF funds that the programs are going to be kind of merged too, so that money will flow to where needed rather than, you know, traditionally the SDF funds went to specific things that were funded through that fund. And I assume, well, okay, we'll maintain all of those services, but then with the STIF merging, we'll be able to do more with, you know, we won't particularly have to earmark certain funds for certain processes. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great question and clarification. The rules in the merger of these two different programs, and really they are two different funding sources that are merged into one single funding opportunity. There were rules around protecting what was the population-based dollars. Those were the dollars that we received for the STF programs. And there are requirements that we allocate at least a minimum of the overall STIF funding toward those programs. And we've ensured that we've done that. So we've ensured on our end that what we're bringing forward is compliant as well as maintains all of those programs.
Okay, I have one other question because you just mentioned very quickly the Roadie Express and expanding that to half hour service. Does that mean now that the Roadie Express can provide service to the ocean so that people leaving from the metro area will actually be able to get to the shore instead of being just in Old Town and, you know, along the Siuslaw River and such?
Sure. And we do get that request a lot, Don. So thanks for bringing that up. John, do you want to speak to that? This is your program.
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to. So that's a great question. And I think that's something that we're working towards. And I wanted to note that the intention of our STIF recommendations are to move us closer towards being able to implement that. We're currently under some regulatory restrictions in which fixed route bus service, in which case Roadie Express is a fixed route bus service, is limited that loops or routes can be no longer than 1 hour in length. And so we currently are right up at that limit currently in Florence, going through Old Town all the way north on 101 to the Fred Meyer before turning around. So that actually limits us from being able to add additional stops to the Roadie Express, because it would push us outside of that kind of federal regulatory restriction. So the intention in the upcoming biennium is to split the existing Roadie Express fixed route from a 1 hour loop into two 30-minute loops, which would then give us the ability and that flexibility to be able to add additional stops, such as if we wanted to be able to go to the beach. So I think the intention is that we work towards being able to do that. Currently, we're limited by our regulatory restrictions. We're trying to break out of that in this upcoming STIF cycle by adding this expansion project aimed to increase frequency. So that's a great question.
Yeah.
Sorry. Other questions or comments? If not, I think we're ready to move on to the next item.
Okay, then that's the fixed route service planning by Brett Smith. Is he here?
Yes, he is. Bear with me one moment while I pull him over. And for the meeting record, I have Kathy Ducing here with me. She is present in the meeting. Excuse me. Ruth Lee knows. Apologies.
Good afternoon. Let me get my video up here. There we go. All right, I assume all you can hear me. All right, good. Got some thumbs up. That's a good sign. So good afternoon. My name is Brett Smith and I'm a service planner here at LTD. And today I'm basically just bringing you a update on where we are with our fixed route service and planning for the FY23 area where we're at currently. Just want to give a little background to start that out. And it's kind of in your AIS, but just as kind of a refresher reminder that every year we do approximately three different service changes. And those service changes, we often call them bids. So if you hear me use the word bid, I'm really talking about service changes as well. And the reason we call them bids is because our drivers bid on the new service three times a year. We can do more, and we did during COVID do more bid changes. But as a general rule, we try to keep it at the three. We do one around winter, summer, and then, of course, in the fall. So just wanted to kind of give an update on that. During those service changes, when we prep for those, we are looking for evaluating of the rider's needs. We're looking at schedule adherence, just the overall usefulness of the current service based on developments within the different fixed route moving through the district. So those are some of the things that we're doing as we prep for these different events. As noted back in January and April, similar to other transit agencies, unfortunately, we are struggling and facing challenges with the ability to hire operators. Our HR department is aggressively and creatively working very hard at hiring operators. But in conjunction with that, as you will recall, for the FY23 budget, we actually slated very minor changes for FY23 in anticipation of this. Some of the changes that we did put out there was, as you'll recall, for the fall, which is what we're operating right now, we added or made some changes to Route 17 and 20, or 17 and 18 over in the Springfield area where they we basically switched the outbounds to provide a more useful service for folks to be able to access businesses and different things in the area. It also created better connections with Route 13, which could give them a connection into Eugene rather than have to go all the way to Springfield Station. So those were some of the changes we made. We also made some adjustments on Route 51 and 52, you'll recall, due to some changes within the city on 8th Street. We were no longer able to operate on 8th Street from Olive through Washington, so the buses now will go straight down to 5th. Outside of that, for the remainder of FY23, there are no planned changes other than maybe some, adherence things where we need to ensure that the buses are on time and things like that, so we might make some adjustments there. Occasional trip may be added in relationship to overloads or things like that. But most changes will be very minor for the remainder of the FY23 budget season. As drivers are added into the system and things become more readily available, then of course we'll be able to look at this in a little more detail. And hopefully we'll be able to add more service to make things a little more useful for everybody out there, more specifically in areas of frequency. There are three routes that are still not operating. which those are routes 27, 73, and 78. We actually, at this point, do not anticipate that we will be able to put those back on the road until probably FY24. The good news about FY24 is that is also the start of the first biennium, or the first year of the biennium for the STIF funding that Cosette talked about. Within that, we are looking at some changes to add additional service into the system. Of course, as that comes available, we'll be communicating with the people like yourselves, as well as other community members, looking at the needs of the community, the needs of the system, to make sure it's useful to help enhance what we already have currently. Some of the things that will also be taking place is in January in 2023, we will start what we call the comprehensive operations analysis. This analysis is intended to examine the entire LTD fixed route network and system, and within that, make recommendations for how we can best serve our community and the needs of those who utilize the system currently. And so those are the basic plans right now for FY23. There's not a whole lot happening yet, but we're very excited to see how it plays out with obtaining more operators so that we can, again, put additional service back out there on the road. So with that, do you have any questions? All ears. Dawn.
Yes, I noticed, well, 27 and 73, but did you say 28 also?
No, 78.
78, okay.
Yeah.
How you take both 73 and 28 out.
Yeah, 73 and 78 were originally intended to be college feeder routes. We just have not been able to bring those back as of yet, so.
And 27, you just don't have the ridership for that? Or
Again, it's not about the ridership. It's about drivers. We need more operators in order to be able to bring back service within the district. As we obviously we're missing service. We're still only operating at around 82% of what we were before the pandemic. And we would love to add additional service back in. And again, we're working diligently trying to find those operators. So as soon as we can find those guys, we can go at it.
On that account, Weyerhaeuser people are still on strike, and I've talked to them, and boy, LTD has a much better package than any of the Weyerhaeusers are offering. Got to go out and talk to those strikers.
There we go. go walk the picket line, right? So. Anyway,
they're having gatherings here and there, handing out food. We had to have a resource person out there to say, hey, here's your opportunity to jump to a better ship. Anyway,
Elaine, I see you have a hand up as well.
I do. I have a question, or actually, a question was posed to me to ask you guys. Uh-huh. The Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development has developed some new rules and guide planning and development for 8 metropolitan areas in Oregon under the label Climate Friendly and Equitable Communities. The changes are quite extensive. How does LTD anticipate these new administrative rules to change or improve services?
Those are good questions, and that's probably going to fall more with Cosette or with Tom in that aspect. And I believe Tom is online and probably could be brought over, Camille.
Tom is actually using my second here, so he should be able to. My second persona on screen here is Tom.
The one without a picture?
Is that really true?
It is.
Yes, it is. Wow. How did I do that? So, yeah, so that's Elaine, to your question, that's something that has recently been being implemented. Let me say, first of all, it applies legally only to the cities and counties in the state of Oregon. and our partners, in particular Eugene and Springfield, as well as Lane County, have been working through the rulemaking around that process and all. But it in essence, how it affects transit is it's going to, I think, reinforce the need for transit and the requirements for the cities to plan their land uses in a way that's transit oriented. So that's and otherwise, I mean, the district is going to work with the cities as they go through this planning process, but it really is led by and resourced by the state and the cities.
Understood, but that affects LTD.
And that's what I was getting at, Elaine. We're going to be involved in that planning at this point, and we could spend a lot of time talking about the current system design today. That system that we've built over the years is really set up to support what the cities are going to be going through. And let me say that this isn't the first time they've been doing this. They've been planning like this for a long time. These state rulemakings that are happening now are really a refinement to the process that they've set up. And we've been doing this kind of planning for over 40 years. So, you know, and LTD's been a part of that. So we don't see any concerns about the outcomes of this planning. It's only going to further support what we're doing.
Okay. Any more questions? All right, we'll move to the Strategic Planning Committee and CATC merger. And that's Cosette again.
Yep. And I also just want to point out that Kathy has joined us. So thank you, Kathy, for joining us. Great to see you. So good afternoon again. The topic that we'll be talking about next is combining two board committees, the CATC or this committee, and our Strategic Planning Committee, which we also call SPC. I'm going to start us off in this discussion by letting you know what we're planning to cover, understanding that we're also here to listen. So we'll provide today a bit of history and some perspective of why we're bringing this idea up for consideration, the opportunities we see to amplify the voice of the disability community in a broader way, what it might look like to merge the two committees, and if we have general agreement, potential next steps. So again, throughout this conversation, we're interested in listening, so don't hesitate to speak up. So if we're all ready, let's get to it. The CATC was created as a committee of the board in 2019 to weigh in on and make recommendations to the LTD Board of Directors, specifically on district activities as they relate to programs and services serving people with disabilities. In the years that followed, you've heard and weighed in on important topics such as service changes, our fare collection system, and updates on our strategic business plan metrics. What we've observed is that we're having many of the same conversations with both committees. However, because they're happening in different committees and in different forums, they're happening in isolation, missing the opportunity to integrate this important voice into the full conversation. SPC is specifically charged with broader recommendations to our board, such as the creation of and changes to our strategic business plan and funding recommendations, including the stiff funding we discussed earlier. But it's happening without the benefit of the perspective this committee can bring to the table in developing those recommendations better together. So I'm going to take a pause here. And I know I've introduced something that might be a little bit, of a shift. So I'm going to invite other staff and committee members to weigh in. And also, if you all just have comments or questions, and then we'll continue on. So any other comments? Any questions?
So, Pete. Okay.
Thank Pete.
All right, Pete.
Thanks a lot. And I just want to add a little bit to what Cosette has already said. I've had the opportunity 2 years ago to be on SVC, and then a little over a year ago, I became the liaison between SBC and and the CATC, and then wasn't that long afterwards I became board member. So I've gotten to have a chance at least to see both committees, how they work, what they do, and what opportunities and short pitfalls that both committees end up with. And one thing that Cosette just mentions that there's a great deal of overlap between SBC and CATC actually discusses, and you oftentimes get the same presentation with both meetings. So, you know, by the time I see a presentation at the board level, I've probably seen it three times just from these committees. But one of the things that I did observe when I first did is that the CATC never really got a chance to get real involved with the strategic planning, the strategic business plan, which the strategic planning committee was quite involved with. And when I first got on as a liaison, there was a bit of disappointment that the CATC didn't have any involvement in that process. And I agree with that particular sentiment. And I think that merging the two committees will actually make both committees better and allow for all these voices to weigh on basically some of the same things that are already coming up. So long-winded, but hopefully that helps you guys' perspective.
Thanks, Pete. Martin.
Oh, it does say Martin up there. Just call me Marty. So thanks, everybody, for letting me be involved. And this is, I think, my second meeting as the liaison from the Strategic Planning Committee. And I'm just going to echo a lot of what Pete said. And I'm going to speak on behalf of the chair of the SBC. And I'm actually the vice chair of the SBC. And I think something that Alma and I have been working very hard with and within the workings of the committee is to make it a more functional and inclusive committee. And I think from the mindset of combining the two, I think that gives us all a broader opportunity to just, function at a higher skill set, which will give us a broader understanding of how we can all help each other and help the board, which helps the LTD run better. So in my mindset, I think this is a great opportunity for us all to kind of sharpen our saws and kind of gives us a chance to step into some areas to understand how we can expand our knowledge areas and kind of work together better. So I'm all for it. I think it's a great idea, and I think we should do it.
Thanks, Marty. Susan?
Thank you. I guess I will, the same number of people, is this going to become like a super committee in terms of everyone who is on either committee will move forward? So no one's eliminated. It's just that everybody will be in one like master committee or something.
Sure, that actually is part of the next steps that we would talk about, which is pulling this new combined group together and reviewing the bylaws. But at least, our intent would be to take the current members of this committee and move them over as part of, again, merge those two together. So it's not one committee into another. It's really emerging into a new joint committee. So
how many people would that be combined together?
So
can you address that?
Yeah, let me address that. So first of all, Susan, we actually have some openings on SPC, several open slots. And so bringing this committee over would actually fill it out to, I think what we're looking for is 12 to 15 members. And so that's what we'd have with the new committee.
Well, I think if it creates efficiencies, that's really great idea. I just wanted to be conscious of not leaving anybody behind or feeling like they were no longer involved in the process. But I agree with Pete. Sometimes you hear these three different times. So on behalf of staff, it would be, I would think, much more efficient as well. So I think it's a great idea as long as no one's left behind.
Can I say too that bringing this group in with to join SPC in their discussions is actually, I think, going to amplify this voice. I think getting at some of what Marty was getting at in terms of making everybody smarter about the broader set of issues. So I know there are some other hands up, but
thanks, Tom. Don?
Yes, I just have a question about SPC's involvement. I know there are 6 members who are required, you know, the Springfield and Eugene and Lane County. And I'm wondering how do they participate? I don't participate in that meeting, so I'm not familiar. A few times I've tuned in and I've noticed, well, nobody from Lane County's there, nobody's from Eugene's there.
Right. So I can answer that, Don. So first of all, you mentioned the 6 members, and that's the 2 board members and then representatives from Eugene, Springfield, City Councils, Lane County Board of Commissioners, and then ODOT is covered in the bylaws under that. And so the new ODOT person hasn't been to an SPC meeting yet, but we're working on getting him up to speed on that. He's the person that replaced Franny Brindle. The Eugene City Councilor representative is Greg Evans. He has shown up, as you know, or you might know, at several meetings, so he's not a regular attendee. And we haven't had the representatives from Springfield City Council or the county board in attendance for some time now. So, I mean, that's just answering your question, but that's where that's at. And just to round that out, in addition to those 6, then there's 9 members in the, I'm just going at the bylaws here, 9 members representing a diverse set of stakeholders, maybe appointed to the committee by the LTD general manager with the advice and consent of the LTD board of directors. So this speaks to the process. Should this combining of the committees into a new committee be something that you all want to do, that process would involve going to the board, having them update the bylaws for the new committee, and then have the LTD general manager formally appoint the membership.
Thanks, Tom. John?
Well said by all of our speakers today. So just as staff, I want to note I'm supportive of elevating the profile of both our CATC and SBC committees. So this is intended to get us the best of both worlds, just making sure to fully integrate the needs of older adults and people with disabilities and all of LTD's work, and getting our CATC members more closely involved in conversations that have historically been under the purview of our SPC. So this includes a review and recommendations for allocations of STIF funds, which typically fund programs that fund services directly to benefit our disability community. So as the motto goes, nothing about us without us, or more simply, nothing without us, meaning LTD wants to make sure we're inclusive of the unique and diverse needs of people with disabilities in decisions that influence public transit. I also want to note that committees such as these serve as just one way LTD can learn and listen from the community we serve. However, it's not the only conduit for us to be having these types of conversations. So it's important that we're also out in the community meeting people where they're at and seek these dialogues out externally. So examples of how we're currently doing this right now include how staff and some current CATC and community members serve as members of, say, our LCOG Disability Services Advisory Council, ODOT's ADA work group, working closely alongside local nonprofits, disability support groups, and many more. So I want to be clear that when we talk about incorporating the needs of people with disabilities in everything we do, we've enjoyed and leveraged that our CATC membership has a diverse and strategic focus on accessibility. So what we're proposing through this merger is an opportunity to put more of LTD's work in front of this group and are finding ways we can utilize the expertise of this group even more than we're currently able to. So to that end, we're very welcoming of any questions, comments, or concerns that help us best accomplish this. And we've included in the current CATC packet a copy of the SPC bylaws, but we're looking to find a way we can most thoughtfully incorporate your suggestions into a meeting that would blend the best of both of these committees.
Thanks, John. Susan.
One of the, I think, just in terms of process, apologize for the phone ringing. I understand from what I heard earlier that the committee will be selected, or new members are selected by the general manager. Is there an opportunity for people in the community to express interest in being a part of it? So, or does the assignments just kind of happen?
So the process is typically that, and actually Camille may be able to articulate the process now that I think about it.
Yes, I can. I'm happy to help with that. So when we have vacancies on committees, we have an online application process now. So we open an application period, and we also communicate with our local stakeholders and counterparts such as LCOG and both chambers, just as examples, to advertise the vacancy and get recommendations for filling those vacancies. Hopefully that helped. I apologize, I'm a little scattered. It's been a very busy day. I hope that made sense.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I was just going to clarify too that the approach that staff is thinking about is, we have, combining SPC and CATC is still going to stay within the 15 member size that was outlined in the bylaws. So it's not requiring any additional beyond those, just to be clear on that.
Thank you, Susan and Tom. So I just want to, John, I see your hand is still up. I do just want to see if Elaine or Hoover or Kathy, if you have any feedback or questions about the discussion that we've had.
I actually think it's a great idea.
Same here.
Yeah.
Hoover? You good? Hoover is a thumbs up. Okay, great. All right. So mechanically, so what could a merger look like? Mechanically, we have two sets of bylaws. What we would suggest is that we pull the merged group together to review those bylaws to ensure that the spirit and intent is represented and integrated. You all were provided a copy of the SPC bylaws, as John mentioned, and we'd be looking for you to take a look at both the CATC and the SPC bylaws and be prepared to have that conversation. Feel free to provide us that feedback ahead of time. So for next steps, it seems like we have general consensus. And if that's correct, I think it's time to take the next step to schedule a joint meeting to get to know each other and to work on how we move forward together. So if there's no concerns or no feeling otherwise, what we would do then next is to put together a meeting that would include both members, and we would work on the mechanics of those bylaws. And then we would be sending those bylaws along with recommendations on membership to the board. So,
does someone enter a motion to send out a doodle poll or something like that?
We can do that. I know that this wasn't listed as an item, as an action item on the agenda today, but I think it would be helpful if this committee would make a motion and approve.
I don't know if I can as a liaison, right?
I don't think that's prohibited in the bylaws.
I'm so sorry, I missed that a little bit. Were you asking for a motion or if a motion is necessary? We don't need a motion for this item. This is was for discussion, and then we're going to discuss it at the board work session to get their take on it too. So no motion is necessary at this time.
So we can move this forward as a recommendation to the board without a motion?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
We're good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Camille. So is there any further conversation or discussion on that? Because this is a big decision and I just want to make sure we're all feeling good about it. Sounds like we are.
Oops. Is there public comment on this, or is that necessary?
I don't believe it's necessary, but again, that could be part of, there could be public conversation at that board work session.
Right.
Or at this new meeting that we're looking to schedule. So.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I just want to thank you for the conversation. I think it's been very thoughtful. And I appreciate the participation of full participation in that conversation. So I will turn it back over, Elaine, to you.
Okay. And I see that there's nothing left on our list. So it's time for us to go finish our day.
Sweet.
And we have found time. Yay. Okay.
I just want to thank you all again so much. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye.